reason why the gentleman didn't get the healing is not because God didn't supply it. Amen. It's because they didn't have faith in what Jesus said. Is that right?
Amen.
Okay, so my point is that's what I'm trying to get across to you. It's not just enough to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have prayed in tongues one time. There has to be an ongoing dialogue of that. Why? I'll keep saying this until you get it. I believe many of you are getting it. There's a one or two that are having a hard time putting this all together. There are stuff in you that the world placed in you that needs to come out of you. And when you begin to believe God, that stuff is surely going to rise up and contend with you. You're going to have to contend with that stuff, and that's what it means to contend for the faith. Okay? When I was going through Hurricane Harvey, that storm woke me up, and I began to pray, and I began to bind, and I began to loose. And I wasn't moved by how high the wind got. I moved, I prayed, and I prayed. I came against it. I get a little tired because it was early in the morning, and I fall asleep, and I wake back up, and I start praying again. Okay? My point is that I'm not the kind of person. Well, let me say it like this. One time I was driving in Little Rock, Arkansas with my wife, and we went through a rainstorm. And she will tell you, I came against that rainstorm, however long it lasted. I never stopped. I kept on saying, I said no. I said stop. I said for you to go. And I'd stop for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and I'd start right back at it again. Well, it finally came to the end of it. And what was forecast to be rain over the weekend, there was no more rain. See, it wasn't that I was contending for the faith for that storm. I was contending for the faith for the whole weekend. That's what it means to have great faith. But you can't have great faith if you got a lot of stuff in you that keeps contending against your great faith. It's not your fault. It's just the world in which we live in. You have to realize your great, 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 great grandfather, Adam, gave you those things. Amen? So, how does the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives help us contend for the faith? I thought you'd never ask. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, John said these words, I have written unto you, these things have I written unto you concerning those that deceive you. These things have I written unto you concerning those that deceive you. Do you realize that there are things in the world, there are people in the world that are trying to deceive you? You didn't know that, did you? Christian, you need to know that. Verse 27, but the anointing you have received from the Holy One, from him, abides in you, verse 27, and you need not that any man teach you. Oh, does that mean that Pastor Craig is out of order here? Well, hold on. But the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth. And is truth. Is no lie. Even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, who is John referring to in this chapter? Who is the he that abides in you? It's the Holy Spirit. The new nature that you receive, that your new birth, is the greatest attribute that we could ever possess to help us understand spiritual truth. That doesn't mean that we enter into the kingdom of God knowing all truth. You don't know all truth. It means that you have a new nature that you can now be taught, and you are now able to understand and discern spiritual things. One of the spiritual things that you should understand and discern today is that the world has put stuff in you that you cannot take out through natural means. I'll give you an example. God forbid, let's say one of your children got kidnapped at the age of 5. And they were sold into trafficking, human trafficking. And they were in that lifestyle for 5 years. And then you were found, and they brought you back to your family. How is that child going to act? It's pretty grave, ain't it? That illustrates who you are in the spirit. You got kidnapped at birth because of what your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did. And you were sold into slavery. And you were used and taught things that you should not have been taught. You were exposed to things you should not have been exposed to. How does a young man who gets raped by his uncle, how does he contend with that? Huh? Spiritually, how does he contend with it? Where was God when all that happened? He may say, the parent may say, where was God protecting my child when that happened? The parent may ask. But now how does that child get repaired? That's what the new birth is for. See, that stuff is in you. Just because you get born again, that's not the end of the trip. We got other stuff to do. You now got to work on getting that stuff out of you. That's why God gave you a teacher called the Holy Ghost. He knew that was the only way. He had to take out your fallen nature, put his nature in you, and then put a teacher in there to teach you who you now are. Oh, that's good preaching there. That's good preaching there. And without him, you'll never know who you are. You'll know who took you and what he trained you to be. Anger, fear, doubt, jealousy, resentment, hurt. You'll know all of that, but you won't know that you're victorious. You won't know that you're more than a conqueror. You won't know that you're a king and a queen. You won't know that you've been crowned with righteousness. You will never understand that. You may read about it in the Bible. You may hear a pastor teaching on it. But until you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, it's a far distant truth that you'll never grab. This is good teaching.
Amen.
This is good teaching.
That is good right there.
Man. So how do you change? How do you change? The new nature that you receive, that your new birth, is the greatest attribute you could ever possess to help you understand spiritual truth. That doesn't mean you enter the kingdom knowing all truth. It means that you have a nature that can now be taught, and you're not able to understand and discern spiritual things of God. But how does understanding come to you? Well, God sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of your new nature to be your teacher. It is the Holy Spirit's job to help you discern and understand God. His job is to teach you what no man can teach you. He not only steps in and identifies truth for you, but he also transforms you to that truth. And you thought praying in tongues was a waste of your time. When I talk to Christians and they tell me that they don't have time to pray in tongues, I look at them and I go, you have not been transformed. There are preachers that have not been transformed and are preaching the gospel. Preachers that have not been transformed and they're teaching the word of God. Oh, if I had a big following, on Facebook, they'd be wearing my page out right about now. The first commission Jesus gave the Holy Spirit just before he went back to heaven was to guide us into all truth. Therefore, our ordination in the Holy Spirit is first and foremost to enable us to discern truth. And most Christians cannot discern truth. Does this scripture mean that God has done away with teachers? No, that isn't what he's saying. Most of my deception didn't come from the pulpit, but how I misunderstood scripture. So God is saying that you need someone to protect you, to tell you whether or not what you're receiving is actually truth. This is why when someone starts preaching that I'm listening to, man, I got this guy right here, he's running and he's listening and I'm turning him on and I'm making sure I'm hooked up to him. Because the moment you say something I go, oh, scratch. I'm not receiving that. Now, I don't get up in a meeting and go, oh, false teacher. I don't do that. I'm out of order. But what I do go is, that's not true. It's not true. And then you come in, Pastor Craig, did you hear so-and-so, 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 so-and-so? And I go, oh, Jesus. Here I go. Oh, my. And I go, yeah. What do you think? Do you really want to know what I think? Or you want me to just agree with you? Do you really want to know what I think? because you may not be able to handle the truth. Because all I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm telling you, there are some people out there that have mailing lists as, God, huge. I don't have a mailing list. Not looking to have a mailing list. But what I am saying is this. I spent my hours praying in the Spirit, laying before God, allowing him to purge me of all that stuff that I was taught. I had to go back and read and tell people that was wrong what I taught. But that's the truth. God says that the anointing within is truth and cannot lie. Therefore, I know the Holy Spirit is resident in my spirit, bearing witness to the truth that is being preached. But if the Holy Spirit has been sent to guide us into all truth, and Jesus said God's word is truth, then there must be a way to turn him loose on the inside of us as our teacher, as our equipper, as our plan worker, every day of our lives just because we choose to. There is indeed a way to do it, for the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So how can a person get into error when the divine teacher lives on the inside of them? And most Christians have the divine teacher living on the inside of them. The answer really isn't very complicated. It isn't difficult for a person to get off base when his intellect is his teacher. And many of you are being taught intellectually. The message I heard of last week was an intellectual message. It sounded very intelligent. And I'm going, this guy could sell an Eskimo ice. He is so smooth. And I went, man, look at me, God. I can barely put two words together without stumbling over them. And God says, I didn't choose you because of your flattery speech, son. I chose you because you would listen to me. That's why you were promoted to be a teacher. It's the only reason why you're a teacher. Well, God, why at my mailing list as long as his? I never should have asked that question. Because Christians don't gravitate to truth. They gravitate to flattery speech. To flowery speech. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want it. This group right here, you're hungry. Saturday at 11 o'clock, and you're here listening to this stuff. You're listening to this message because you want to go further into it. I guarantee you there are a lot of people that need to be here besides you. You should be on the outside listening to what I'm saying, and these seats should be taken up by somebody else. I'm bragging on you now. This is a unique group of people. And I'm just saying this to you. Don't let me flatter you with speech. Let that be a challenge to you to go deeper into God. Find out where you're missing God and say, Holy Spirit, you made me better than this. And I'm rising up. And I'm going to go to work until I figure this out, until you teach me how to discern truth. Amen. When this is the case, a person that's being taught by intellect is at mercy of his own natural reasoning as he attempts to discern what is right and wrong. This is why when someone starts trying to teach me, man, one of the first things I want to do is, do you spend time praying in tongues? And that's what I'm listening for in your message, is the tongue message in your message, because if it's not, then you're subject to error. Am I judging him? Oh, you better believe I am. You better believe I'm judging him. Jesus didn't tell me that I couldn't judge. He just says, I couldn't judge your motive, but I can judge. Yes, can. Well, let me ask you a simple question. A man sees you at nighttime, you see him walking towards you with a knife. You're going to sit there and go, I wonder if he wants to hurt me. I wonder if he wants to hurt me. I wonder if he wants to hurt me. No, you're going to judge the man and run. I mean, come on. This is what Jude was saying that happened to the other church. They were attracted by flowery speech and not by the truth. That's why the Holy Spirit doesn't teach you in a language in which man wisdom is taught, the wisdom ordained of this world, but in a supernatural language called tongues. It's the language that the church and the majority hates. I don't hate tongues. Why don't you spend more time praying in them then? Do you love Facebook? How do I know if you love Facebook or not? I can tell by how much time you spend on it. Well, I don't love it. I just want to keep up with what's going on. Really? Really? That's your excuse. That's your excuse. Let me go on. But in the supernatural language of tongues, revealing the spiritual things of God to the new nature you have received, which enables you to discern and understand what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Once the channel is open and you learn to yield to the Spirit as your teacher, the devil cannot shoot as many darts as he wants at you, and the Holy Spirit will stand there and knock every one of them down. That's called the shield of faith. Once the channel has been open, in other words, the channel of your spirit has been open to the other world, the world of the spirit, and you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit as your teacher, the devil can shoot as many darts as he wants at you, and the Holy Ghost will just stand there and knock every one of them down. How does he knock them down? He'll say, "That's not true. That's not true. That's error." Before I got a hold of this message, I used to love Christian television. I'm not going to say which channel I watched. But when I was back in the day watching Christian television, there was probably 1, 2, maybe 3 channels. Now there's probably as many as 10 or 15. When I went back to listening to some of those channels, I got so frustrated with it, I just quit watching it, man. I'd rather watch Gunsmoke than I watch Christian television. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just telling you, that's how much error I find. Every now and then. Now, I'm not talking about guys like Ken Copeland or what's our boy's name?
Andrew
Womack. I mean, those guys, man, they're spot on, man. They are spot on. You know, every person has some error in their doctrine, including your one and only president coming, I excluded. But the point is that overall, they're sound. They're sound. And you can't go wrong listening to them. But then, man, then it goes downhill from there. Was that slow enough? Did you get where I was coming from? Okay. There won't be a single truth that can penetrate your spirit because the Holy Spirit will be there to immediately bear witness and inoculate you against deception as your protector and as your guide. The same is true in the arena of faith. The same is true in the arena of faith. When doubt and unbelief begin to flood your unrenewed mind, the Holy Spirit will raise up the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. That's what happened to me this morning. I was drifting over into what I call compromising. And he woke me up and says, "No, no, complete victory, son, complete victory, complete victory." Now, if I'm being challenged that way, I promise you, not that I'm all that in a bag of Cheetos, he's going to challenge you. I'm no more human than you are. I've got some purging that I've done, but I got more purging to do. Getting to this place in your spiritual walk will not be an overnight process. One of the reasons it's not is because most of us spend all of our time trying to deal with the outer man in order to make it the physical evidence that our inner man has been created. Here's what I mean by that. If you grew up in church in the 70s and 80s, especially Pentecostal churches, women could not wear pants to church. Men could not wear jewelry. I remember a teaching in the 80s and 90s that women couldn't preach. You took that message that Paul preached and said women should not be an authority over men, and you took that out of context with your natural mind, you didn't discern it, and you taught the whole thing wrong. You ain't by yourself. I did the same thing. I was on break just now and talking to someone about marrying someone after you get divorced. Well, the Bible says if you marry someone once you've been divorced, that you cause your current husband to be an adulterer. And that simply is not true. Because you discern those scriptures in the natural, just as a sidebar here, you know what he was talking about there? He was talking about the nation of Israel. They were married to the law. And they were going to be, the law was going to be divorced or going to be dead. And now they were going to be married to Christ. Well, many of them didn't want to be married to Christ. But you and I are, aren't we? Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. So who are the real Jews?
We are. Well, we're not Jews.
Excuse me?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, yes, I am, sister.
We are the son of God.
I am as much of a Jew as any other Jew that's born in a bloodline. I'm a Jew. Exactly right. I am the real Jew. This is what God meant to be his son. Yes. This is the real Jew.
Yes.
You are that Jew.
Amen.
It's not about a nationality. It's not about a race. I'm not being anti-Semitic here. That's not the point. The point is you've been born from above.
Yes.
That's what God meant to do with the Jewish nation. They were to be born from above.
Yes.
Whew, that's good preaching. Which one?
That one you're talking about, how we were married.
I have to go look it up.
Okay, I think I just read it.
I got off on a pig trail. Forgive me. But if we at lunchtime, we'll get it for you.
Corinthians.
However, if you start praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues for hours a day, it won't be long till God will start pulling down some of those pet doctrines. At first, see, I used to think this. God could only heal me when everything is right.
Wow.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Totally wrong. Where'd I get that stuff from? Well, it wasn't a pastor that taught me. It was what I conjured up in my own mind because it wasn't working.
Yeah.
It was only when I had a good day. Well, now God can heal me.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. It's a matter of faith, period. That's all it is. Now, you take a person who's been born again for less than 6 months to a year, they can ask God for anything and bam, he gives it to them. But you and I have been bumping around here for like 4 or 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. God, what's going on? He expects you to grow up. He's not changing your diapers anymore. Now imagine this. Well, I better not say that. I'll stop. I almost went there and man, I'm going to get myself in trouble, so I'll stop. At first, when you start praying in the other tongues, your way of thinking will start to change. People will call you weird because you don't think like them anymore. The preaching you used to listen to on TV won't be the same. You'll begin to see the error that is being taught. A war will be raged on the inside of you as the Holy Spirit. What's happening? You're contending for the faith. But that war began to rage on the inside of you as the Holy Spirit will begin to isolate the wrong doctrines in your life and begin to pull them down. These things separate you from the faith. And he will not stop pulling them down, that which is not of him, that is not of the truth in your life, so he can guide you into more and more truth. See, when you quit allowing him to purge you of those pet doctrines, when you stop allowing him to purge you, he can't take you any further than the truth. I remember one time I was in my apartment and I was praying to God, and he said, "Son, I've taken you about as far as I can." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Until you forgive your father, I can't take you any further." He says, "Now you can be born again and you can go to church and yeah, he'll bless you and you'll get to heaven and it'll be a good life, but you can't go any deeper than this." And I had a decision to make. I had to forgive my father of our relationship. And I went, "Well, I ain't the one that caused the problem. He was." And my father says, "But you are the adult now in this situation, and you are my son, and you listen to me, and I am asking you to to forgive your father. What was God saying? If I couldn't forgive my natural father, how could my heavenly father forgive me? Whew. When he slew me like that, I went, let me hop on this plane. Let me hop in this car. Let me drive to Oklahoma. I remember I mentioned, imagined myself, okay, now when I get to his house, how am I going to act? Listen, folks, don't worry about that stuff. When you get there, he'll make a way, and it'll be a super highway, and you'll walk right in there, and you'll speak your piece, and you'll be like, what was the contention all about? When I talked to my father, he was just as apologetic as I was. Probably about a year after that, he died. I am so glad we reconciled. But my point is this. I could have still be there. Now, if I had not apologized to my father and he died, would God have forgiven me? Absolutely. It may have cost me a few things, but he'd have forgiven me. Amen. I don't think there is a place you can reach in your walk with God where the Holy Spirit will not stop the process of purging you. You'll always be purged. As long as you have this body, you'll be getting purged. As long as you pray in tongues. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit isn't going to pull down a lot of your flesh as you let him be your teacher. What I am saying is that the prize that you're pressing toward to be obtained, the prize that you're pressing toward to be obtained long before you get to heaven is worth it. The purging is worth it. Listen, the Bible talks about wood, hay, and stubble, silver, gold, and gold, silver, and bronze. And he talks about one burning up in fire. You know what that fire is? It's when you get to heaven, all that stuff, wood, hay, and stubble, it ain't gonna make it, man. It's gonna burn up. There are a lot of good-meaning Christians. They have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble as their trophies. It's gonna burn up. I have the largest congregation on the earth. It's gonna burn up. I have one of the largest Bible studies in Houston, Texas. Gonna burn up. Because that's not what you're rewarded on. You're rewarded on whether or not you perpetuated the gospel. And you taught people how to get purged. And you taught people how to grow and walk in the faith. Amen. That's what you get rewarded for. When I found that out, I went, I'm not teaching anything else. My assignment on the earth is to help believers figure out how to walk that walk, man. And to make it so simple, you have to be just dishonest not to walk it out. I can give you all the tools that you need to walk out this life. Here's the challenge. Are you willing to spend the time in doing it? This is why Paul said that I may apprehend that which I have apprehended of Christ. In other words, Philippians 3:12. In other words, one day, Jesus literally seized Paul and said, I'm going to hold you right here until you find out the reason I got a hold of you in the first place. And we're in Philippians 3:12. Paul goes on to say this, I press toward the mark of the high prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's verse 14. What is the highest calling of God? Is it the apostolic call? Nope. The highest call is to come out of the flesh and into the spirit. It's the highest calling. That's what God was working with Paul all of his life. This is why Paul said, it may be in these verses here, he says, oh, you want to talk about being successful? I was a Hebrew amongst Hebrews. How's all that, man? I was one of the top dogs. And then he said this, I count that as dung. Let me put that in perspective for you. We call that now S-H-I-T. It was just as slang then as it is now. It's what that word means. I'll tell you something else. That word S-H-I-T, it was not an evil thing. It was put on manure being transferred on a ship, and it means to ship. Ship high in transit is what that stood for. Because if that manure got wet, it would explode. No, sister. Not just an explosion where you get, ooh. No, it would destroy the ship. And they found out the hard way. So they put on that sign, ship high in transit. That's what that word means. But the devil took that word and turned it around. You don't think you can be influenced by the world? Just give me a break. That's how slick he is. Go get on your encyclopedia, get on your Wikipedia, and you'll find out that's true. But Paul said, I call that stuff dung. Here's what I'm saying to you. You ought to call it all dung too.
Amen.
Just because you have a PhD, it means nothing in the kingdom of God. Just because you can say, I've accomplished all these things, God ain't impressed. Just because you got a 40,000 square foot mansion, God ain't impressed. Not at all. God's more impressed with the person that is sitting there praying in tongues every day, spending time in private worship, spending time changing their life. God's impressed with that person more than the person's accomplished all those other things. And when they get to heaven, they realize, because they're going to walk up there like, ooh, I'm ready for Jesus. And when you look into the mind, they're going to just hit the ground and go, gosh, I missed it. Don't be that person. Just like Paul, I'm in the grips of the Holy Ghost, and so are you. And as we allow him to be our teacher and guide us in all truths, it will just keep getting better and better. You have someone on the inside of you that will alert you if you're being deceived or not taught the truth. But many in the church today don't have the operation of the Holy Spirit in their lives, so they are easily deceived. What I mean by the operation of the Holy Spirit, they have initiated that operation. How? They pray in tongues on a continual and regular basis. Don't tell me about tongues. Now you done got me mad now. I just don't believe praying in tongues. You know nothing about the Holy Ghost. You know absolutely zero. And that's where the majority of most teachers are. They know absolutely nothing about praying in the Spirit. I went to a guy right after men's meeting because the Holy Spirit was beginning to convict me. He says, when are you going to sit there? How long are you going to sit there and not tell these men that they're missing the Holy Spirit? So after that, I said, I'm bold, God. I got it. So I walked up to that pastor and said, Mr. And if I said his name, you know who he was. I said, when are we going to get the Holy Ghost back in this meet in these meetings? You know what he said? He just turned and walked off. And that's when I said, I'm done. I haven't been to a meeting since. Because you want to take out the Holy Ghost. You're trying to help men, but you're not giving them what they need.
Amen.
And women, too. I'm just saying I was in men's ministry, okay? If you have the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will never be separated or deceived. Never. I'm not a cloud without water. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm a tongue-talking, devil-stomping, mountain-moving, faith-filled believer. I don't have to be like those who have separated themselves from the truth. So how do I initiate this operation in the Spirit? I initiate this operation going down to verses 19 and 21. They tell us exactly how to do it. But these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Not prayed, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's a continuous thing. I don't just pray one time. I continue to pray, and I continue to pray, and I continue to pray, and he continues to purge. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, into eternal life. These ungodly men were sensual or sensuals. That means they were dominated more by their carnal appetites of the flesh than they were by the word of God. Most people now, most ministers now, they use their churches, they use their ministry as a 401k plan. This is how I'm going to retire. This is how I'm going to retire. Don't shout me down now. Oh, I don't, preachers ain't going to like that. But I'm calling them out. The church is not your 401k plan. You know who your 401k plan is? Jesus! He's my provider. Not you. He is. He is. I don't care if I'm 90 or 90 or 120. He's going to provide for me. And if I'll continue to walk in the faith, I won't have to worry about it. Excuse me for yelling. It goes on to say that they had not the Spirit. This means these men did not have the Holy Ghost in operation in their lives. Therefore, they were separated from the truth by the devil and by carnality and the lust of the flesh. Yes. We see that there are those in the body of Christ today who have separated themselves, not having the Spirit. You'll know them because they're ruled or dominated by their senses. You're sitting in my seat. I can't sit here in the back. I got to be up front where the anointing is. I need for Sister So-and-so to pray for me.
Amen.
Don't shout me down, church. You know I'm preaching good this morning. I'm all over it. They are ruled by what they see, what they feel, what they think, what they hear, versus what they believe. They are just like those clouds without water, raging waves of the sea, or wandering stars. Being filled with the Holy Spirit must have something to do with not being dominated by the flesh. It must have something to do about whether disease stops me or whether I stop disease. Somehow, there must be a way to release the Holy Spirit in my life. So instead of poverty paralyzing my progress, I can turn around and stop financial lack in its tracks. Bless God. Either this gospel is real or it's not real. Either it works or it don't work. But let's put it to the test. And when I get to heaven, I can say, God, look what I did. But that ain't going to work. It's not going to work. He's going to say, yeah, you played, church. You played with it, but you didn't. Your heart wasn't into it. You wasn't all in. You were a follower. You were not a disciple. I know I probably stepped on some whole bunch of toes, right? So having said that, we're dismissing you to go to lunch.